Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to another Arsblog Arscast on arsblog.com with me, Arsblogger, with thanks as always to classicfootballshirts.co.uk, who this week have provided me with a very special prize, which is £100 worth of credit for their online store, which you can find, obviously, at www.classicfootballshirts.co.uk. Stay tuned to find out how to enter that competition. There'll be more details on that a little bit later on. Coming up between now and the end of the Arscast, which will not be as long as last week's, we have got Arsene Wenger Hawkins. We've got the man in the bar with another player history, a blog chat with a friend of mine who's a journalist and a Manchester United fan for his troubles, and some other bits and pieces in between. You know, the usual kind of crap that, you know, just tends to happen when you're recording this thing. So it's been a fairly quiet week. No midweek matches. Nothing really happening in terms of, you know, exciting news stories. We beat Blackburn last Saturday, which was a truly fantastic performance. And I must just take this time to say, fuck you, you useless cunts, to NTL. On Saturday morning, I rang them up and I said, hello, please, I'd like to order the Arsenal-Blackburn game for the pay-per-view, blah, 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 blah. And the girl said, yeah, normally we sell the matches in twos as another pay-per-view match this morning. I don't know, I don't remember what it was, but she said, you know, seeing as you're calling after that game has kicked off, I'll give you the Arsenal match for, you know, half the price. So I said, thank you very much. At about 5 past 5, I realised I hadn't turned on the pay-per-view channel, so I rang them up, spent about 15 minutes on hold, and got through to some guy, and he said, oh yeah, you see, what's happened is the girl that you were talking to this morning, she put you down for a match that happened, you know, 3 weeks ago. So at this point, I began to realise I wasn't dealing with the greatest brains on earth, but he promised to have the game on within 5 minutes. I had to do a little zibbly-zobbly thing where I had to reset my NTL box, and he said, within 5 minutes, definitely you'll have the game, not a problem. 20 minutes later, I've been on hold for another 15 minutes, no sign of the game, and this guy comes on, and I said, look, you know, I ordered the game, it hasn't come on, I already spent 15 minutes on hold to another guy, and he promised he'd have the game in 5 minutes for me, what's going on?
Yeah, well, we're having a few problems with the system here, you know?
Right, okay, is you going to be able to give me the game or not?
Probably, but I don't really know.
Well, you know, I kind of need to know because there's already fucking half an hour of the game gone. So, you know, tell me now if you're going to be able to give me the game. And if you are, I'll take what's left of it at a reduced price, of course. If not, just fucking cancel the whole thing and make sure you don't put it on my bill.
Yeah, all right. I don't know. This is wrecking my bleeding head, so it is. Sorry, man, I don't fucking know.
In the end, I just had to tell them where they could put their system repeatedly and without lubrication. So I hung up and didn't get the game, but managed to find a stream on the internet, which was great. And it really was a fantastic performance. As I said on the blog, it really put paid to the idea that Arsenal can't go away from home up north and, you know, battle against a physical team. You've got someone like Robbie Savage, whose main skill in the game of football is kicking people, not the ball, but actually people. Or, well, maybe that's not his best skill. His best skill is rolling around like a fucking fairy pretending to be hurt. Granted, Gilberto shouldn't have kicked out and he should have known better. You know, it's one thing if you kick a guy that won't do that. But you know, if you touch Robbie Savage, he's going to fall over and squeal like a little bitch. And that's exactly what happened. But the goals were fantastic. Kolo's header was brilliant. I love watching the replay and Friedel's head, that quick head turn. When he realises the ball has gone behind him and into the net. And what can you say about Thierry Henry's goal? Down to 10 men, under pressure, And we played a great sort of football. Really, really fantastic move. Great build-up play. Great pass from Rosicki to Henri to begin the move. His run down the left-hand side, taking all the defenders with him. It's amazing. I'm sure Mark Hughes looked at that and went, why did not one of you try and tackle him? The pass to Cesc. Cesc's just brilliant return pass, and the finish was just out of this world. And that was 2-0 to Arsenal, and no less than we deserved. And I read some on some Blackburn Rovers forums during the week that their fans were complaining about us being cynical, about Arsenal players time-wasting, for example, about Arsenal players pretending to be injured. Hello, fucking cunts. How can you fucking even begin to complain about that when you've got Robbie Savage in your team? It's sort of like the way Alex Ferguson always says that diving has no place in the game when he's got, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo and his team. Anyway, 2-0 Arsenal, 3 points, and fuck you, Blackburn Rovers. So on we go to United on Sunday, and it's going to be a very interesting game, having won at Old Trafford 1-0. They'll be up for revenge, and of course they're flying high at the top of the league, a position that not everybody expecting them to be in. In fact, not anybody really expecting them to be in, given the fact that they lost Van Nistelrooy in the summer and signed in Michael Carrick. As well as that, you know, there was a feeling that maybe Ferguson was past it. They've proved people wrong this season. They've done very, very well. They've been very consistent. We're going to have to be at our best on Sunday if we want to take the 3 points. Now, on to this week's blog chat, where we talk, or I talk, to a Manchester United fan about their league position, how surprised he was about the team, and he talks a bit about Arsenal and how he thinks we're the team with the potential in the years to come. And then it sort of ends with the two of us slagging off Chelsea, which is a good sport, really. So here we go. Without further ado, here's this week's blog chat. Okay, this week on the Arsecast, we welcome Brian Foley, freelance journalist and, for his sins, Manchester United fan. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Arseblogger.
Now, before we give people the wrong idea, they think you're a football journalist or something, you write for things like Cast Iron Gates Monthly and Which Washing Line.
Yeah, I'm at the more glamorous end of the business. I saw all the President's Men, you know, and dreamed of getting into journalism, so here I am.
Well, it's, yeah, like you say, it's where all the action happens. It's Arsenal United on Sunday. You lot sit top of the league, and I don't think anybody really expected that. We sort of thought Chelsea were going to not run away with it, but it was going to be Chelsea season again when they brought in Balak and Shevchenko and all these guys. Are you surprised yourself at how well you've done so far this season?
Surprised isn't the word. I think shocked would be a more appropriate word. Back in August, looking at the team sheet, I just felt there was no momentum there. Van Nistelrooy was gone. Carrick came in, you know, wasn't exactly like signing. So, I'm stunned. I'm stunned. I just don't understand it.
Yeah, like the rest of us.
Yeah. But, you know, Ferguson written off again, and he's proved them wrong. So, fair play for him.
Yeah, I think maybe one of the things that might be relevant to the change and to how things have gone is the fact that, you know, Van Nistelrooy left. And, you know, for a couple of years, he'd been playing around with this sort of 4-5-1 formation, which to me, and as an Arsenal fan, I've seen Arsenal use it and I don't like it. But I mean, United and Arsenal have always been two teams that like to play open, attractive, attacking football. The 4-5-1 for me was always a very negative formation. Do you think that's made a big change, the fact that he's gone back to a more attack-minded 4-4-2?
Oh, yeah, it had to go. The Van Nistelrooy going freed all that up. You know, we did so well back in the 90s and the early part of this decade playing 4-4-2. There was never any fannying around with Christmas trees or whatever, 3-5-2s and all that. So, yeah, definitely. Scholes is playing the best football he's played in about 4 years. He didn't go blind, which was good. I heard Buck Masher talking about that the other day.
He was, yeah. He's a very very kind and Christian soul, the Mug Smasher.
Liverpool supporter, so...
Well.
We expect that. So, I'm still not too sure about Carrick, but Scholes is more than holding his own in the centre midfield. Ronaldo, very surprised. You know, I know plenty of Arsenal fans who call him a show pony and plenty of derogatory things said about him, but, you know, according to a lot of commentators in Britain, he's been the player of the season so far. I wouldn't quite go that far about Ronaldo, but he is having a great season. He still has to work on his end product. But, you know, as a Man United fan, you always want to see wingers, and somebody like him is exciting. Strange thing about United, we're top of the league, and Rooney hasn't really shown up in about 6 weeks, you know, which is very strange.
It is.
Started the season, I always thought, if he gets injured, I remember, because we started pretty well, and I was talking to various supporters of other teams, and they were saying, well, you know, you're shagged if Rooney gets injured. You're a one-man team. And I was saying, yeah, I have to agree with you, we are. But he hasn't shown up in 6 weeks, and it hasn't affected us. So there's no logic to what's going on. You know, it's a great thing. I was obviously as a United supporter, but you can't help get the feeling, you know, to move it on a bit, that we have too many players over 30. You know, if you're reading Kevin McCarr in The Guardian there yesterday, he was saying what I've been thinking for a while, that it's Arsenal that are the coming team with, you know, a lot of young players. United are kind of relying on their older players, the guys who came through around 95, 96. So there's a sense that this may be a bit of a valedictory season for Ferguson. I don't see how he can bring this on. If we win the league this year, great. But I don't think the foundations are there for, you know, what we did.
Okay. There aren't that many players sort of in their 30s, though. When you look at it, you've got young guys like Ronaldo and Rooney, who are, you know, really starting their careers. You've got, at the back, Ferdinand still has plenty of years left. Maybe Gary Neville as well. He's an old cunt. But, you know, really the rest of the team are Giggs, I suppose, and Scholes. But, I mean, they aren't really that much in terms of veterans, are they? I mean...
Well, I'm saying that in reference to... I'm thinking of Scholes, Giggs, Neville. And then in the midfield, you've got Carrick. And is Carrick... Who's Carrick going to play with next season? Is it going to be Owen Hargreaves and Michael Carrick in the central midfield?
Or John O'Shea?
John O'Shea, obviously being Irish, that would be my nightmare. Yeah, he's got to be one of the worst squad players.
How does he get a game?
I've no idea. He reminds me, I don't know, do you remember back in the 80s we had a player called Ralph Milne?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I think of when I think of John O'Shea. I don't know, how does he get a game? I think it shows the kind of the squad we have. You know, it's Darren Fletcher and John O'Shea are the two players who come on when he wants to take, when we're winning maybe 2-0, 3-0. And he just wants to rest a few players. So I'm not that, you know, obviously, yeah, we've got Rooney and Ronaldo, but I'm not that optimistic about the future. If I was an Arsenal supporter, I'd be, you know, you haven't had a great season, but the potential is just incredible, you know. But hopefully the potential won't be realised on Sunday.
Like it was at Old Trafford.
I don't know, my memories of that maybe are different to yours. I thought it was just heading for a kind of boring 0-0, and fair play, yeah, goal in the last 4 minutes, you robbed the 3 points. But did Arsenal dominate that game that much?
No, I thought it was a fairly even game, in fairness.
Yeah.
I don't think there were too many outstanding chances, the penalty aside, obviously, that we missed in the first half. But, you know, I thought both teams were fairly evenly matched. I thought we were helped as well by the fact that Scholes was just coming back from injury and Rooney was just coming back from injury or World Cup, and neither were quite fit enough. But, yeah, I mean, there wasn't really a great deal of optimism on behalf of Arsenal fans going up there. Fantastic win, but... I don't think anybody was really expecting it. What about Henrik Larsson? I personally, I have to say, I can't fucking stand him. I hate his guts after what he did in May. I fucking see the cunt burn in hell. But a fairly canny signing, you'd have to say, even if it is only for a few months.
Yeah, it's but you know, it goes back to what I was saying earlier. He's 35, you know. But he looks the part. He looks good. He looks good. And for this season, yeah, he's as good now as he was 6 months ago, in the final. So, yeah, good signing. But looking to the future, pretty useless. But as regards winning the league this year, he can do nothing but help. I just hope he doesn't upset Saha too much, or Saha is thrown a bit by this, because I think Saha can be a bit of a moody player. So
maybe he might become more injury prone as a protest.
You never know. But the funny thing about Sunday's game is my mood, will be largely predetermined by what happens at Anfield a day earlier. My head says Liverpool hopefully will win. My heart says I'd love to see them getting stuffed again, It would be nice. But if Chelsea do anything other than win, I think the pressure's off us a little bit. Is it Ashburton Grove or is it the Emirates? Can you clear that one up for non-Arsenal supporting people?
Depends on your point of view. I prefer Ashburton Grove, I have to say.
The corporate sellout doesn't go down
too
well.
No, I mean it's completely understandable, but at the same time, the Emirates Stadium it sounds rotten. The Arsenal Stadium maybe is what it's called in the Champions League. You're not allowed to have a corporate stadium, so it's the Arsenal Stadium. So, yeah, no, Saturday's going to be good because obviously it affects us both, because Liverpool are a point ahead of us and we'd like to see. It's a shame they both can't lose, really, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I know exactly what you mean. Saturday's going to be a bit of a soap opera because what's going to happen with Shevchenko and Mourinho, and they're saying Abramovich won't turn up at the game now. So that doesn't be a nice little subplot before the main event on Sunday.
It is nice to see the Chelsea House of Cards, crumble a little bit, isn't it? Because you always got the feeling it was built.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
It's a brand new year, and what better time to get going with that online store you've been thinking of? Those "I was there when Arsenal actually scored a goal" t-shirts would fly off the shelves right now. And to get yourself up and running, you need Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way through to the did we hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort with thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/arsblog, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/arsblog now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/arsblog.
Done this. Okay, there's a lot of money behind it, but the foundations weren't particularly strong.
What I found particularly odious and obnoxious about Chelsea is the attempt to buy culture and history and prestige. No matter what I feel about Liverpool or, Arsenal or Man United, if you support Liverpool, these clubs all have a heritage. And Chelsea, to my mind, don't, but and they're trying to buy one. you know. So I just find the whole thing obnoxious. 3 years, he's owned it 3 years. I'm surprised the house of cards hasn't fallen sooner, because it's built on shite, to my mind, you know. There's no framework there at all to support it. I think Mourinho will be gone by the summer. Abramovich, hopefully he'll throw his rattle out of the pram when he realises that the fans don't love him. So you never know. You never know. I just, you know, look back on the 90s when Arsenal and United were going at it hammer and tongs, and Chelsea just had nothing like that.
Whatever the rivalry, and obviously there's a great rivalry between Arsenal and United, but behind the rivalry, you know, was, you know, as grudging as it might be, there's a respect for what each club has done and the way that they play football and the way that they have made their way to the top of the game, you know, through hard work, through effort, through years of, you know, building youth academies, etc., etc. There's no way... Probably people will hate, United fans might hate Chelsea more than they hate Arsenal, or Arsenal fans might hate Chelsea more than they hate United. But the rivalry will never, never compare, will it?
No, it won't. Like, at the risk of sounding an ass kisser, you know, you see Thierry Henry's goal against Blackburn last Saturday, and, you know, if you're a football fan, you just love seeing stuff like that, you know? Having Henry in the Premiership is a good thing, even though he doesn't play for my team. So, my feelings towards Chelsea, though, aren't, you know, I don't, they go 1-0 up, they go 2-0 up, and that's it, they close the game off. They never open up, they never go, let's try and win this 5-0, let's turn on a show for the paying supporters. So, you know, hopefully their demise is imminent, but, you know, we'll have to wait and see.
Fingers crossed. I look forward to reading your review of Chelsea season in Cast Iron Gates Monthly. Brian, thanks a million for taking the time. And I'd love to wish you luck on Sunday, but, you know, I hope you crash and burn.
And fuck you too.
Thank you, Brian, and we'll have another blog chat, as usual, on next week's Arsecast. Now, as well as getting the Manchester United fan on the Arsecast for the blog chat, I was trying to get a comment from maybe a famous United fan, and I managed to track down former Happy Mondays lead singer Sean Ryder to a recording studio somewhere that I can't mention, and asked him for his comment on what he thought of the upcoming game and how he thought it was going to go on Sunday. So this is what Sean Ryder had to say. And really, it's very difficult to argue with that when you think about it. Hopefully, though, hopefully he's got it wrong. Now, taking a break from all things Manchester United for a moment, Arsene Wenger Hawkins is here, and he watched the Blackburn game last week, and he wasn't at all impressed with Robbie Savage. Here's what he has to say.
Hey, Robbie Savage. Can you hear this? Ooh, yeah, you like that, don't you? That's me checking your bird, so it is. And this would be after I befriended you by hanging out with you. First I would go to an 80s nightclub because, looking at your hair, that's where you would be going out at night. Then, I would wait for the DJ to put on your favorite song, Maniac, from the film, Flashdance. You think this song describes you perfectly, but that is only because there isn't a song called I Am a Fucking Horrible Cunt. I would go onto the dance floor where you were showing off your moves, and I would make the slightest contact with you, then I would fly through the air, do four double somersaults, a triple pike, and land on my face, screaming like I was fatally injured. You would be so impressed at how much I made of such little contact that you would beg to be my friend so I could teach you everything I knew. And I would pretend to be your friend and come to your house and stuff, but then your bird would not be able to resist me, and then I'd shag her. Give her that special AWH love that all the ladies love. Make love to me, Arsene Wenger Hawkins, she'd say. Make love to me in the way that Robbie Savage can't. In a wheelchair. And with a penis. That'd teach you for getting Gilberto Silva sent off, you pussy bastard.
Arsene Wenger Hawkins will, of course, be back next week. Some interesting news regarding Mr. AWH, actually. He's been apparently According to his agent, he has an agent now. Can you believe it? Fucking hell. He's been offered a part in the new Spider-Man film. Not Spider-Man 3, the one that's coming out, but Spider-Man 4. As himself, as an evil, twisted genius who's going to take over the world and, you know, Spider-Man will do his Spider-Man things and Arsene Wenger Hawkins will do it. It's amazing. Worldwide celebrity in, you know, 12 short weeks. I'm jealous. I was offered a film role myself once, many years ago. I was going to be stand-in for Daniel Day-Lewis in My Left Foot. I was going to be the stunt double for the left foot. Why, are you expecting a punchline or something? Okay, on to our competition. As you know, the Arsecast is sponsored by classicfootballshirts.co.uk, who have very kindly given us £100 worth of credit for their online store, which can be found at www.classicfootballshirts.co.uk. What you find on that site is original, authentic football wear, whether it's shirts or tracksuit tops, etc., etc. It's all the real deal. It's not replica, which is why maybe sometimes it's the rarer stuff looks a little bit expensive, but it is, if you're a true collector, the place to get your stuff. Now, to win this £100 worth of store credit, all you have to do is answer the following question. This season, the number 5 and number 6 jerseys of Arsenal have been redistributed within the squad. I want you to tell me who currently wears number 5 and number 6 and who wore them previously. So that's an easy question, really. Number 5 and number 6, who wore them before and who is wearing them now? All you have to do is send an email with the answer to arscast@arsblog.com. That's arscast@arsblog.com, and the winner will be announced on next week's show. And thank you very much to classicfootballshirts.co.uk for the prize. Now then, before we get around to answering some of your questions and some of your emails, of which there are very few this week, I have to say, here's the man in the bar with another player history.
How many times was he stabbed? 7. In the eye. Fucking hell. I'll fucking teach him, won't I? Hello. This week, we're talking about Eddie McGoldrick. Now, Eddie joined Arsenal from Crystal Palace in about 1993. And he was an Irishman, although not really. He was about as Irish as a shoe. But he came into the team, and after Anders Limpar left, he was sort of played on the left-hand side of midfield where the old Limpar used to play. And it was a bit difficult for him because, to be fair, having Anders Limpar one day and Eddie McGoldrick the next is sort of like being married to Angelina Jolie and waking up one morning and discovering you're lying beside a sea cow. So as you can imagine, not everybody was a big fan of Eddie. He was a very forward-thinking man, though, very modern in his thinking about football, and he lived on a diet that consisted solely of minestrone soup and granary bread, which, now that I think about it, probably explains a thing or two. Maybe he'd had a bit of stew or an old pig's arse. Might have served him better on the football pitch than fucking soup. Anyway, he went to the World Cup in 1994 with Ireland and never got on once, not even for a minute, didn't play a fucking second. In 95-96, he left Arsenal and I think went to Manchester City, and sure, geez, after that it's always downhill, isn't it? Anyway, at the moment, Eddie's a karaoke DJ in East Anglia, and his favourite song is The Never Ending Story by Le Mal. Never ending story. La 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 la. Come on, lads, sing it with me.
The man in the bar will, of course, be back next week with another concise, informative, and not even slightly fictional player history. Okay, we'll go on and answer some of the questions that you've sent in by email this week. Let's start with Paul Jones, who says, do you think we need to be getting in another experienced keeper? I know you think we could do worse than Shea Given, or would you consider giving Almunia a chance as our first choice keeper? I think he's looked really solid in the few games we've seen him in recently and would definitely like to see him play some more if he can show consistency with a view to replacing Jens. I think Jens will go in the summer, probably back to Germany. And I think the boss might be just a little bit wary of letting his keeper stay too long, the way he did with Seaman. In my opinion, David Seaman stayed about 2 seasons too long. So Almunia, I'm not sure. I think what he is a very, very good number two. Number two. But no, I do think he is a good number two keeper, and sort of knows that he's a number two keeper and comes in and does his job well, gets down with it, gets on with it, and doesn't complain. And as we saw in the Liverpool game, he's very, very capable. Over the course of a season, though, I'm not entirely sure. Next one. From Jonathan in Israel. He says, I'd like to suggest an idea for you to add a part of the podcast in which you speak to Arsenal fans around the world, asking them questions about how they started following Arsenal or just getting their general opinions and making the podcast more interactive. He says, by merely talking to simple gooners and not ones who work for The Guardian, Amy Lawrence, or have a blog, Gilberto Silver, or whatever he's called. Maybe you'd be more interested in that if you had more time and made the podcast more than once a week. Anyway, just an idea. Jonathan, we it's difficult because I can't just sort of, you know, phone up people at random and hello, are you an Arsenal fan? You're not? Okay, sorry. Hello, what language are you speaking? So what we do have, of course, is the email address, arscast@arsblog.com, and the system through which anybody with a microphone and a computer can leave an audio message for the Arscast. There's been none at all this week. I was hoping to hear from Igor the Brute, but nothing. So it's up to you guys. If you want to become more interactive, if you want the podcast or the Arscast to be more interactive, it's all there for you. All you need to do is just, you know, do it. And I look forward to a flurry of audio messages next week from people who want to make themselves stars on the Arscast. Trausti, I think, in Iceland. Sorry if the pronunciation is wrong. He says, you made it clear that Freddie Ljungberg is finished as an out-and-out winger, but the boss has said he still has a role to play in the team. Do you think he'll be played in another position, like fullback or defensive midfielder even? No, I don't think so. I think what he can do is probably be effective in a 4-5-1 if we need to play that formation again. But certainly he doesn't seem to have the pace to get past a man or anything like that. So it's a bit sad. I'm not sure where Freddie will be this time next year. I'm not sure that it will be at Arsenal. Perhaps a move to a slower pace league like Italy or maybe Spain will suit him better. Alan Long from Hay in New South Wales wants to just check in and say he's a listener from very far away, as does Ian Field in Brisbane, who emigrated a year ago, and he says he misses the Arsenal more than anything. Rob says, given our next four games could be termed big games, which victory would give you the most pleasure? I just want to beat them all. I want to win every single game. I don't want to lose any. I know we could probably, in the grand scheme of things, we could deal much easier with losing in the Carling Cup because it's, you know, the Carling Cup. But that said, you're losing against Spurs. So, yeah, let's just beat all four of them, will they? Fuck those cunts. And last question comes from Adam, it is, who says, any ideas on a bid for Gareth Bale? It's been widely broadcast that Manchester United are in for him, but I've heard rumours about Arsenal. Any ideas? Not a clue. No idea. Really. Sorry. So those are your questions. Don't forget, if you've got anything to add to the Arscast, email arscast@arsblog.com, or if you want to leave an audio message, click onto the Arsblog homepage and follow the link for the Arscast, which is on the right-hand side, or podcasts on the top menu bar, and you'll see the instructions. There's a link there to leave an audio message. All you do is click on the page, turn your microphone on, and say whatever it is that you have to say. One final thing in this section, just want to say hi to Steve in Barcelona. He's my rapping buddy, so he is. Manchester United fan for his sins as well, but fair play to him. He's married to a Catalan woman and he hates Barcelona. He was cheering on Arsenal in the Champions League final. So hi to you, Steve, and give Luigi a kick in his fucking beard for me, would you? Good man. Right you are. The final part of this week's Arscast is, as usual, the bet of the week, with thanks to bluesquare.com. That's www.bluesq.com. If you haven't got an account, please set one up by following the link on the Arsblog homepage. It makes a difference. Together we can fight Arsblog poverty. Yeah. This week, Simon Wolf says, this Sunday sees the Gunners face the most difficult game at Ashburton Grove, and their unbeaten record at their new home will be put to the test. With Gilberto suspended for the crunch game at Manchester United, or against Manchester United, Matthew Flamini should again take his place in the centre of midfield. Flamini has played in most of the big games this season, scoring against Liverpool and Chelsea. If you fancy the goal machine to score again, he can be backed at 8-1 to score at any time against United on Sunday. That's 8-1 for Matthew Flamini to score any time on Sunday. So go to www.bluesq.com and place your bets now. Actually, you know what I don't like? I don't like the way the Arsenal Stadium announcer says Matthew Flamini's name. He goes, Mathieu, 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 like he's vomiting. You know what I wish? I wish when he's doing that thing where he calls out somebody's first name and all the crowd have to shout back the second name in a fairly pathetic attempt to mimic Bayern Munich, and it just makes me cringe every time. I wish somebody would vomit into his mouth when he does that. When he goes, Thierry! And someone goes, blah! That might shut him up for a while. Anyway, that's it for another Arsecast. We will have another one next week with the answer and the winner of the classicfootballshirts.co.uk competition. In the meantime, I hope you have a fantastic weekend. I really, truly hope we kick the fuck out of United on Sunday. And what more could I ask for? Well, I'm not going to, you know, lottery win would be nice, but I'm not going to be greedy. Have a great weekend. Talk to you next week. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.